Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Last week, the president made some took some executive actions on guns. Nothing very dramatic that he can do, wanting stiffer regulation of background checks. But he spoke to the nation about his concern over gun violence. And, of course, Chicago played a very prominent role in his discussions. Here's the president in an emotional moment.
First graders. And from every family who never imagined that their loved one would be taken from our lives by a bullet from a gun. Every time I think about those kids, it gets me mad. And by the way, it happens on the streets of Chicago every day. So, all of us need to demand a Congress brave enough to stand up to the gun lobby's lies. All of us need to stand up and protect its citizens. All of us need to demand governors and legislators and businesses do their part to make our community safer.
That was the president last week, and of course, I think you will hear more about the issue of guns when the president delivers his last State of the Union address on Tuesday in Washington. Well, joining me now is my good friend and colleague at the Chicago Tribune, the Chicago Tribune's nationally acclaimed architecture expert, Blair Kamen. Blair, thanks for getting up with me this morning.
Good morning, Rick. It's great to be with you.
You know, I tell you, I always enjoy your writing. Of course, I enjoy also listening to you over sitting in the QB not far from me sometimes, too, with some of these people. But before the holiday break, the Obama Presidential Library Foundation had made its selection of architects to apply to design this half-billion-dollar presidential center. And I kind of liked your take on this was, and I want to quote, it's tempting to characterize the list of seven finalists for the Obama Presidential Center as the greatest rout of Chicago architects by Easterners since the World's Columbian Exposition of 1893. And indeed, you know, when you go through the list of firms, there's one from Chicago.
Right.
And go ahead.
No, that was a disappointment to many in the Chicago architectural community. The firm selected is John Ronan Architects, a very good firm. Their works include the Poetry Foundation headquarters in River North and the Gary Comer Youth Center, which incidentally is where the Obama Foundation announced in May that the Presidential Center would be built in Chicago. But nonetheless, the expectation was that there would be more, a greater number of Chicago architects among the seven finalists for this very prestigious commission. And it turned out that there were four from New York, two from Europe, and as we've said, only one from Chicago.
And of course, you know, the city's proud architectural heritage. But, you know, as you pointed out, none of these firms are anything, you know, to sneeze at. I mean, we've got, and maybe what we could do is if we can run down each of these firms, and maybe you can assess, you know, strength, weakness,
sure,
that kind of thing.
Sure. Well, the firms from overseas are David Adjaye, who is a London-based Tanzanian-born architect, who is the designer, the chief designer of the National Museum of African American Art and Culture, or History and Culture, I should say, in Washington. he had dined with the Obamas at a dinner, a state dinner for British Prime Minister David Cameron a few years ago, and that instantly started speculation that he would be a prime candidate for this job, and indeed he was. Another overseas architect is Renzo Piano from Italy. He is a winner of the Pritzker Architecture Prize, and his works include the Art Institute of Chicago's Modern Wing, which opened a few years ago. Michelle Obama attended the opening of Piano's Whitney Museum of American Art in New York last year. She raved about the building. She said that even the elevator, even the freight elevators were beautiful. So that we, it wasn't too much of a surprise that Renzo made.
Well, and as you noted, that Piano joined Obama at a Rome dinner.
That's right, for Italian notables. So now, not everybody who dined with Obama made the cut.
That's why I'm wondering if this has become a dinner selection.
Yeah. Helmut Jahn, for example, was being considered. He was present at a dinner for Angela Merkel at the White House, but he didn't make it. So that was not the only criteria, eating with the press. The other two of the other New York final, two of the New York final. Oh, by the way, I should say, if either Ajay or Piano wins the job, he would be the first foreign architect to design a U.S. presidential library. It's always been a U.S. architect in the past. Now there are two, four other New York finalists: Diller, Scofidio, and Renfro, a firm that co-designed the High Line. In New York.
That's like our 606.
That's like our 606. That's a former elevated freight railway that's been converted into a hugely popular linear park in Lower Manhattan. Then there's Todd Williams, Billy Chen Architects. They have designed the Barnes Foundation, a wonderful art museum in Philadelphia, as well as the University of Chicago's Logan Center for the Arts, which is just a few blocks from where the Obama Center could be built. The other two New York firms are Shop Architects, whose works include the Barclays Center, the Arena in Brooklyn, and Snøhetta, a firm that was founded in Norway but has since moved its base to the United States, and its designs include the September 11th Museum in Lower Manhattan. So it's a very strong field.
And as you pointed out in the story I was referencing earlier, that, you know, we're talking about modernists. We're not talking about classicists.
Exactly. If there's a kind of taste culture evident here, it is modernists, architects who favor sleek, clean lined or strongly sculptural forms. It's very different from the architect who designed the George W. Bush Library, Robert A.M. Stern, a traditionalist. I mean, it's tempting to say that Democrats tend to like modernists, Republicans tend to like traditionalists, but that's a little too easy. It's not always that clear of a divide, but in general, there's some truth to that.
Well, are we looking, and of course, you know, this is still going to design phase, but you know, you tend to think of presidential libraries, there's always, and museums, there's the recreation of the Oval Office inside, those kinds of things, but they tend to be more of a stately type facility, like a government stately type facility.
Right. And the Obamas want something different from that. They have said they want a presidential center that engages the community, that has places for bold thinkers and people who are, you know, involved with hatching new ideas.
Thinking outside the box.
Yeah, thinking outside the box. And this in some way reflects Barack Obama's background as a community organizer on the south side of Chicago. He doesn't want a presidential fortress, it would seem. He wants a building that engages the community. And I think that's very important, a very important aspiration, because these buildings or the Obama Center will be built in either Washington Park or Jackson Park. And the idea is really to engage the communities and uplift the communities around the center. Both are minority communities that have that are low income and have many of the problems associated with urban areas in Chicago. So the center is really seen as a kind of economic engine will help to uplift these communities economically and otherwise.
We're speaking with Blair Kamen, my colleague at the Chicago Tribune, the national award-winning architectural critic. And we're talking about the architectural selection for the Obama Presidential Library. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson on this chilly Sunday morning in downtown Chicago. Joining me on the phone is Blair Kamen, my colleague, the Tribune's nationally renowned architectural critic. Blair, you touched on a couple of things right before the break there about, you know, trying to make sure that the Obama Presidential Library Museum, Obama Presidential Center, ties into the community and that it not become kind of an isolation from the community. And you noted that it was kind of interesting that they've asked these seven architectural finalists to design conceptions for both of the potential sites.
Yeah, that's what's good about the design process at this point. They're not simply handing the architects a site and saying, here, you know, put an object on it. They're asking the architects for, as you said, conceptual designs for both Jackson and Washington Park. And this is important because the architects will have potentially at least an influence on where the Obamas decide to put the Presidential Center. And the sites are similar but different. Both Jackson and Washington Park were designed by Frederick Law Olmsted, a great American landscape architect of the 19th century. Both have about 20 acres in total size. The site, I should say, for the Presidential Library is about 20 acres within those parks, which are much larger. But Washington Park is different because it has an additional 11 acres outside the park's western border, and that's land between King Drive and the Chicago Transit Authority's Green Line. So some of the Presidential Center, at least, could be located outside Washington Park and could be more integrated with the city around it, tying directly to the Green Line and the neighborhood around it. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what the architects propose in terms of for the different sites. And that's crucial because it won't only help the Obamas pick a site. It will also help them to develop a relationship with the architect. That is really critical here. I mean, this is not just a fashion show where they pick a shape. They're picking an architect who designs a building that is supposed to be a full-fledged experience, something that you see on the outside, you move through on the inside, something that relates to the community, doesn't just sit there like a, you know, a grand temple of Obama. I think the selection process so far is going pretty well.
Well, you also noted that each of these architects or architectural firms will have a sit down with the president and the first lady in
exactly,
this year ahead. But
yeah.
But you're hopeful that it's not just a one and done kind of thing.
Right. They're supposed to meet with the Obamas at the White House in the first quarter of 2016. I do hope that there's more than one meeting. Perhaps there will. And the reason being, again, is to establish a relationship between the clients and the architects. Perhaps there will be callbacks. In other words, you know, they'll meet the architects and then, you know, narrow it to the final three and have final interviews. But that's simply speculation on my part. I hope that, you know, it's not just a one-and-done selection process, as you say.
Do you think there already is a preferred site between Jackson Park or Washington Park?
There was a lot of speculation among journalists last year that Washington Park was the pick. But I think that there isn't. I think that the, this selection process really does open the door and makes it a level playing field between Jackson and Washington. Jackson has advantages. It's near the Museum of Science and Industry. There could be shared parking with the Museum of Science and Industry's underground parking lot. It is near a metro stop. You could go directly from Millennium Park down Metro right to the Obama Library. It's also right near the lakefront, much closer to the lakefront than Washington. Conceivably, there could be an area at the top of the building, an office, where Barack Obama and Michelle Obama would have offices looking out over the waters of Lake Michigan, which is prime. That's the prime view in Chicago.
Yes, indeed.
So, I think that it's really an open question at this point, and neither Washington nor Jackson Park is the clear choice.
So how long do we expect this process to take?
We expect it to be resolved with a choice announced in mid-2016. So June, July, somewhere around there. There already have been some delays. But that's the timetable. And the building itself is supposed to start construction after Obama leaves office about a year from now, early 2017, and then it's supposed to open in 2020 or 2021.
But this seems like a very rapid-moving process for these architectural firms.
Yeah, I think so. Yes and no. I think that, 6 months is probably enough time to, for them to have a deliberate selection process with enough time to really review their compatibility with the architectural firm and also look at their previous work and their conceptual proposals. So I think there's enough time here. I don't think it's not like a shotgun selection process. I think there's some room for deliberate thinking, which is what you'd expect from the former legal instructor at the University of Chicago.
Blair, one other thing I wanted to ask you about is the Chicago Architecture Biennial. And apparently it was so successful this past 2015 that it's coming back in 2017. I have to tell you, I don't know what that is.
Hey, you didn't read all my stories about the biennial?
I tried.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. Well, anyway, the Chicago Architecture Biennial just wrapped up. It was an exhibition headquartered at the Cultural Center across from Millennium Park, and it was an exhibition of cutting-edge work by about 120 architects and design firms from around the world, roughly from 30 countries. The idea of the exhibition was to explore what it called the state of the art of architecture, and that's a very kind of vague term. But what that essentially means is it was really kind of a think tank and exhibition combined that gave architects a chance to come up with proposals that showed what was important to them and also revealed how they might try to make the world a better place in very simple language. For example, Jeannie Gang, a very prominent Chicago architect, designed a proposal for reimagining a Chicago police station. Instead of having a police station that would be cut off from the community, surrounded by parking lots, her idea was to redevelop both the police station and the areas around it. So you would have a police station that had a gym nearby, a basketball court nearby, parks nearby. And the idea here was to address through design the lack of trust between officers and the people they police, and that has is said to have led to many of the police shootings around the country. This proposal, interestingly, was hatched in October when the biennial started, long before the Laquan McDonald shooting raised
issue,
police brutality issues to such a high level in Chicago. There are many other fascinating proposals. One involved an office where you would never, or you didn't have to sit. You could, through the configuration of an interior design, you could lean or stand. There was a machine that built a robot that through stones and thread built a three-dimensional sculpture. There were many other kind of innovative proposals. And there were also proposals that directly for the city of Chicago, there were architects who proposed ways to fill many of the vacant lots throughout the neighborhoods with so-called infill housing. There was a very controversial proposal for locating high-rise towers east of Grant Park and moving Lakeshore Drive further east, something that I certainly was not in favor of. But the point here was that the architects were, the point of the biennial was that architects should have a place at the table in trying to address many of the world's critical problems, whether it's police brutality, global warming, income inequality. Architects don't just design fancy, iconic museums like the Lucas Museum. They have a real role in improving the quality of life in our everyday lives.
And I think that's why you care about what you do. Blair, I'm going to have to hold you right there, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks, Rick.
Blair Kamen, nationally award-winning, Pulitzer Prize-winning architectural critic for the Chicago Tribune. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Rick, my pleasure. Thanks very much for having me.
We'll be back with more right after this.